I'm so excited today to share about revival from the perspective of soul winning. You're not going to want to miss this message as we unpack why so many people never share their faith and how powerful and easy that really is. I want to welcome all the other sites and the campuses of Springs Church. Great to have you with us, and happy Canada Day. Father, today as I share, I pray that every person's mind would be open to you. That, Father, the message today is going to actually change the way we live. I pray this in your name. Amen and amen. There's a line in our national anthem that goes, "O Canada, we stand on guard." And I know that it's got a very military meaning for most, that we're going to stand on guard. But for believers, it's got a completely different thing. We must stand on guard for a country, that the freedoms that we have would be maintained. I'm always telling Christians that we got to change our thinking. You can't have a Christian country because of laws. Okay? If you think that, you need to wake up a little bit. We live in a very pluralized society where everyone has free will and the freedom to live their life the way they desire to live their lives. And so we don't need them to legislate Christianity, but we want our government, our laws, our parliament. We want everyone to keep it a free place where Christianity can flourish, because nothing can stand up to it when the love of Jesus and the principles of God's word are being used. We don't need to legislate Christianity. We just need freedom, true freedom, so that Christians have an ability to share. And when we talk about standing on guard, when we talk about how can we change a country, we've made some huge errors as churches, and I want to talk about this today. We really feel like the reason the world is going the way it is because we don't pray enough. That's what I hear all the time. Every conference I go to, someone's going to get up and go, "We must seek God. We must repent for our country. We must intercede the skies of brass and burst through the demonic strongholds." I've heard so many crazy doctrines, and I disagree with them all. Okay, disagree with them all. And I love studying the early church, which, by the way, upset cities and countries in just a few years. By the time the Apostle Paul died, he had reached the then-known world with the gospel. He says so, history tells us, and when they went into cities, incredible things happened, and we have no example of intercessory prayer meetings. Did they pray? Absolutely. We pray for our leaders. We pray. There's lots of examples of Pauline prayers in the Bible where Paul says, "Pray this way." And so we must pray. But the issue for prayer isn't that prayer is going to cause revival, because prayer is not what causes revival. Now, indirectly, yes, if it changes the hearts of the people praying and gears you up to become bold in sharing your faith. But the early church, they did it differently. Now, in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20, Jesus sends out 70 people, and he gave them power to cause miracles and to bring miracles into people's lives. And it says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" You have to understand that when Jesus came on the scene, there was approximately 400 years of nothingness. No great prophet raised up to speak to his people. And we find a proliferation of demonic activity. Everywhere Jesus went, you'd hear about demons crying out, or a demon-possessed person, or etc. Someone telling their fortunes with the early church. All sorts of stuff going on. And so when the disciples went out, and that no one knew how to deal with it. They didn't. They had one guy who was so wild that they had to chain him up, and he would break chains, and he ran naked amongst the tombs. Nobody could deal with this kind of demonic attack that was going on amongst them. And so he sent the 70 out, and they returned going, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." So Jesus says this, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold." All right, when he says behold, it means pay attention. Listen up. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this has got to be one of the most powerful phrases of Jesus telling us something. But then he completely switches horses in the midst of this verse, and he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The early church changed whole countries. The early church had such revival that we think everyone's, well, I don't like being in a big church because I like kind of a small, you know, like the New Testament. The New Testament didn't have small churches. It was small once, but even in one day they had 3,000 converts. Men. And then from there, history tells us that the church at Ephesus, the church in Jerusalem, exploded into tens of thousands of people. Little churches is not what he wants. They start little. And they had small groups in homes. But when they met as churches, there were incredible amounts of people. How did they do this? Today, so many people just feel good about praying for revival. But the early church actually didn't pray for revival. They prayed for boldness to witness all through the New Testament. They would get threatened and they would say, Lord, in Mark chapter 4, for example, they'd say, Lord, take note of the threats of the people around us and grant that we, your bondservants, would speak your word boldly while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders will take place at the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They didn't say, Lord, there's threats everywhere. They're beating us, whipping us, cutting off our heads. They're putting us in jail. That's how bad it was back then. So protect us, which is what the church today would have prayed. And there's no problem praying for protection. But their number one passion, take note of the threats of everything around and help us to speak your word boldly. They wanted a boldness to share their faith. And today, it is a rarity to have someone who will actually communicate their faith, share their faith. So today, I'm going to show you how. Because I've taught on this for years and years and years. But today, I want to show you how. And the first thought I want to give you is this. The Bible says that the gospel must be preached, not teached. The Bible says the difference between preaching and teaching is one is proclaiming the gospel, the other is explaining the gospel. And we get caught in the weeds of, you know, well, what about this? What about that? How come that? Then we go off chasing all these little answers, trying to help this person. The Bible says proclaim, confidently, boldly proclaim who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. And we are to be witnesses of what he did in our life. That is where we are experts. We're not an expert on them or what goes on with babies around the world or how come. You don't know. But all you know is what he's done in your life. And if you could ask me, Leon, what kind of a church do you want? Without a pause, I would say I want a soul-winning church. If you want to know who impresses me the most, it would be people who share their faith. Day after day, it would be people who go out of their way to reach out to all the amazing people who've never heard about Jesus, or if they have, they've heard about him so religiously they would never darken the door of a church, but you go and pick them up because you care about them, you love them, and you bring them out to church where they get a chance to see how beautiful and wonderful this Jesus really is. Some people think that, you know, I often get asked this question, well, like, Leon, how do you share? How do you answer this question? And they don't realize that I don't. What do you mean? I don't answer their questions in detail because it goes off the gospel. Instead, I keep focused on what I have witnessed with my life. Like it says in Acts chapter 2. What did he do for me? And every time I start to share with someone, a wonderful person, and I recognize that God is absolutely in love with this person. And I think that people are afraid. I didn't do it perfectly. And how do I win them to Christ? And what if I share it wrong? And you're going to find the Holy Spirit will anoint your words. But today I want to just have some fun. I want to do something. It's not fun. It's actually pretty serious. I want to just kind of mock up how I would share Jesus with somebody. Matt, come on up here. Are we going to move this table? Or are we going to... You guys ever seen improv on TV? So Matt and I had a conversation for about 10 minutes about this, and then I just put him on the spot. So remember, I often talk about walking into a Starbucks, and I just see someone sometimes, and I'll just join them for coffee and get into a conversation and share stuff. Let me just kind of just mock that up for you. Here's what I would do. And I said, you can ask me questions. And we talked about some stuff. We have got no, there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? Script. All right? So I said, let's go ahead. Let's just talk about this. So this is what I would do. If I was to walk into a coffee shop and I was, you know, I'm buying my coffee and I'm looking around, all of a sudden I see someone. And I don't have to feel this, but often I do. I'll get a sense of, wow. I just feel, this guy catches my eye. I don't know why. Holy Spirit just draws. It's not, angels sang the hallelujah chorus, the Spirit of God spoke. I don't believe a lot of people who talk that way. They blow it up as if they're incredibly in touch with God. I always feel like I could have, every time I share my faith with somebody, I always go away going, I wish I would have said this, and I wish I'd have said that. But God uses what we give him, right? So here's what I'd do. I'd grab my cup of coffee. All right, we're into it. Hey. I'm here for coffee alone too. Do you mind if I join you?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, this is the break the pause that refreshes. A cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So man, you're looking a little bit down. You okay?
Yeah.
You look like I used to feel often.
And how's that?
Struggling, empty, you know, dealing with issues in life that eat you for lunch and makes you wonder how you can even go on sometimes. I see you're married. There's a good one right there. Good Lord, the kind of stuff that Sal and I have had to walk through and figure out.
We've been through a couple of things lately. We lost a couple of babies, and I don't know. Sorry.
That's okay, man.
I don't really know what's next. It's
your wife was pregnant a couple times and
didn't
go to term. And
things just got real hard, and now she wants to, you know.
How do you be a husband when your wife's hurting like that? It's pretty hard.
I don't know. I'm feeling like I'm in over my head, and I don't, like, nobody tells you this when you get married, that this could happen, and you don't know how to deal with it, and there's emotions, and there's fighting, and I don't understand her anymore. I can't fix her, you know?
Yeah, you know, that used to tick me off. Not being able to fix something just sucks.
Right.
It's like you're powerless. It's like you can't do a thing. It's like, who are you in this relationship? And you're supposed to protect her and look after her and be there for your family.
Can't fix it.
Yeah, I've been there. I'm so glad I figured out how to walk out that one.
Okay, well, tell me your secret, because I'm literally, like, I don't know.
You know, it was, for me, it was like literally dealing with this issue that I'm not going to be able to look after her like I want to. And it just shocked the crap out of me. The first time a problem came up, I couldn't talk her through or coach her through or fix it. And, you know, basically, I went on a search like you, just thinking through life. And man, I'm not talking religion, because I pretty much hate religion. It sucks.
Yeah, me too.
But I just found God. I found, and I don't mean in this wimpy, pathetic way, I just found out that I was basically a dead man walking. And when I actually looked at the Bible, this incredible book, and this Jesus, everyone loves Jesus, they just can't stand churches, you know what I mean? I found out I was a dead man walking, that the way God had made me, I wasn't even alive. And that's how I felt. I felt like a dead man walking. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I feel like that, but that you, what you're saying is just, it's... It's God and church and Jesus, and it's too easy. You know, like, I mean, the problems that I have are here, and they're now, and I can't, like, you know, we're at a crossroads. And I mean, I understand church, and I grew up, you know, going to church in Sunday school, and then when when I discovered I could sleep in on Sundays, then we stopped going to church and Sunday school.
I hear you.
And it's nothing better than sleeping in on a Sunday. But that's just all. That's, I don't know. It's fairy tale stuff, and it's too easy. It's too easy.
Well, it's kind of like this. If you wake up one morning and you're totally sick, or you're just tired, and you've got kids to deal with, and a marriage to deal with, and you got work to deal with, and then you got all these issues and problems, and you're trying to solve them all. The biggest issue you got this morning is just to get some strength, just to get some energy. I was at a place where I just started getting overwhelmed, where I'm thinking, how do I do all of these things? And so the simple fact was that to actually have this energy, this motivation, this sense of purpose, this sense of love, it's what changed my life. Nothing actually changed instantly in my life when I did this, and I can show you how I did it, but when I did this, it's like a purpose. Something happened inside of me, like a peace. Something just happened inside of me that all of a sudden I knew I could walk this out. It's like I was missing something this entire time, and you're right, there were no pat answers, but man, when I started talking with my wife about things, she looked at me like there was something different about me. And when I woke up, you know those empty mornings where you feel blue? I'd wake up and I'd have hope. And I knew that he would be with me through this thing. So I know that religion has really messed this up. But I'm telling you, man, that as a man, as a father, as a husband, that until that happened, I did not have what it took to be what I wanted to be. And yeah, it sounds really simple, but it's not that everything got solved. It's that something changed within me, and I could go on and do this powerfully. Dude, you need this. You need it. I'm nothing special. I'm not a stupid man. I've checked things out. But also, I'm not a religious weirdo. I'm just telling you, life, work, family, home has completely changed for me since I did that. What do you think? What do you got to lose? All right, we'll stop right there. Stay right here. Thank you. You see, sometimes you can teach stuff, and you need to kind of half see it. If he would have went to marriage counseling, I'm not going to counsel with his marriage, because he doesn't need marriage counseling, he needs Jesus. If he's going to go to parenting issues, how to handle his kids, and my teenager's running away from, I'm not going to how to run your kids. All of these things are a diversion off of the one thing I want him to know. He needs Jesus. He doesn't need marriage counseling yet. He doesn't need counseling on how to be a husband. He's got financial issues. And every one of those areas I could help him with, but every one of those areas takes me off the number one thing. The number one thing is he's a dead man walking. In other words, he's not spiritually alive. And I'll show it to you in the Word that because he does not know Jesus, he needs a relationship with him. And at that point, something you can't explain takes place deep on the inside. And so my goal in this conversation would be to I would have taken probably half an hour to get to where I got, but I don't have a half an hour in church. I'd just chat, talk, hockey, you name it. And then I would have gotten to, man, when I sat down, I noticed you struggling, dude. And it's like two men talking, but I'm never backing away from the boldness. See, what sells him is not my explanation. What sells him is there's a man sitting across the table that says, everything he's dealing with, I got help with. Doesn't mean I've figured any out. Doesn't mean I'm a great dad or a great husband or I'm the best. No. It just means I found something. And this is the issue with sharing your faith, is that they might want to go to dinosaurs. They might want to go to dead babies. They might want to go to bad things happen to good people. There's so many places to go. And the human mind will go off. And even if you answer it, they'll have another question, because you're beginning to play with the mind. But what I did with him, if you think through what I just shared, is that he talked and I went straight for his heart. I'm not dealing with his mind. Yeah, I know what you mean. It changed for me. Yeah, it's Jesus. It's not religion. And if he would have went to Leon, how do you deal with a wife who's like this? I wouldn't give him what is mourning, the five steps of grief, and how to. No, I just say, you know what? We got great classes at Springs for all of that. But there's one thing nobody can do for you. That one thing is to give your life to Jesus. And I don't need to close the deal right now and get him saved. I just need to plant the seed. However, Many people are not aggressive enough. If we were sitting here talking in Starbucks and he says, dude, I need that, I want that, I'd say, well, you know what? Come to my car and let's just finish praying and talking. Or if I know that I'm never going to see him again, I would just say, well, let's just pray. Keep your eyes open. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me. I make you my Lord. Bam, done. And he's made this decision. And then from that point and on, but I still want to follow up because we're supposed to make disciples, not converts. So I want to get his name. I want to get his number. I want to do coffee again next week. I want to pick him up. Man, this church I'm talking about, I'm picking you up at. And I'm not going to say, do you think you'd like to go to church maybe, Matt? I'm going to go, listen, Matt, I am picking you up at 8:30 and you're coming with me, dude. You my new friend and I'm not letting this go on. Okay, you, me, we're on. Guy, it's the boldness. It's not arrogance. It's not, you think maybe you'd like to? It's like, people are so open to, I want you to, I'll pick you up at 8:30. Make it happen. Just cancel whatever you're doing. Dude, where I go is going to rock. It's going to change your life. I want him now to be discipled in the ways of God. Does that make sense about sharing your faith? Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, man. Most of us here are afraid that we're going to say something wrong and we're not going to have an answer. And so let me just share with you quickly just some things about sharing your faith that is crucial. In the Bible, verse after verse after verse, it was about boldness. It was being unashamed. Romans chapter 1, I haven't got time to read the verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, talks about I'm not ashamed. And then repeatedly, Paul did not say, pray for me that people would get saved. He said, pray for me that I could be bold and that I would not stop sharing my faith. You know why? Because within you is revival. My dad always said, draw a circle on the ground and get into the circle. If you can get revival in the circle, you can get revival anywhere. The issue is not anybody else. When I pray, I'm not praying because I'm trying to change something in Winnipeg. In this room right now is more than 12 people because 12 people change the then known world. In this one service alone, if we would, everywhere we go in a spirit contemporary way, just begin to share and care, and everywhere we go, we're not going to be silent. If we want to change Canada, if we want to see Canada reached for Jesus, it's not getting into intercessory prayer groups to change the spiritual landscape. You cannot change the spiritual landscape of a place. Jesus already defeated the devil, he already stripped them of power, and he already forgave everybody. But it's not going to go into process for them until they accept him. And so when I sit down, if I would have just started comparing heads and answering all of his questions, give him some counseling, we're off somewhere, he met a nice guy, we can become friends. But I kept him on the one thing that nobody can do for him, and that is, it's you. Deep on the inside, you need Jesus. He's going to rock your world. He's going to change your life. This desire to pray, if you want to know how to pray, Acts 4 is a chapter about how they prayed. Lord, take note of what goes on in my life. I got financial problems, marriage problems. Like everybody else, I'm working on everything. But help me to speak your word boldly. Now, boldly does not mean accept Jesus. It's not television preacher style. Boldness is, this was very bold. Okay, it wasn't arrogant, it was very bold. I'm listening to him, and I'm convinced I have the answer. It's Jesus, and I'm not backing down from it's Jesus. And anywhere he goes, if I don't know, I said, man, I don't know about that, but I'm telling you, as a man, I changed when I gave my life to Jesus. I found the strength, I found the peace. Every problem wasn't solved, but that was the day problems began to be solved. As he guided me, he led me. There, everyone is aware. So you can share your story. You can share what God has done for you. You can say, well, Leon, he hasn't done much for me yet. Then just go there. Say, I'm really new at this too. But I'm telling you, my mind, my life was just going in places that scared me, and it just got anchored and turned around when I made a decision for Christ. And then connect it to church, because you can't have a baby, okay? No couple has a baby and then just leaves it somewhere. They've got to be looked after. They've got to be fed. They've got to be helped through the things they don't know. That's like new believers. You don't just get them saved and leave them. They need friends. They need to get into get at least out to church and someone to keep answering their questions and being there for them. And so we want a soul-winning church. The only hope for Canada is not that we all get into great big prayer rallies. I mean, if I'm going to, and I pray, but what I pray for is not for revival. What I pray for is boldness for my church people, boldness for my staff, boldness for my kids. All through the Word, it teaches us. Pray for boldness. A great door has been opened for me. The disciples prayed for boldness. And my prayer for you today is that we would have believers that rise up who are unashamed. who can't answer every question, but just would say, yes, I gave my life to Christ. And as a man, as a woman, as a mom, a grandpa, whatever, is it totally changed my world. And now he's with me walking this thing out. Then they can go to any question they want. Keep them on point. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3 that even when it came to deacons or church workers, they had to have an ability, a boldness to share their faith. Every staff member should have an ability to share their faith, from the janitors to you name it. And then the body of Christ, we should be sharing our faith everywhere we go. If we don't, nobody else can. Did you know that angels can't share the gospel? Only human beings are. Yes, we have examples of angels appearing and saying something, pointing a direction, but only human beings preach the gospel. And the gospel is very simple. Jesus died for you to forgive you your sins. But now here's the thing. The Old Testament had that. They had their sins covered and an access to all the promises of God. So it's not enough to get saved to say it's a forgiveness of sins. Their issue is the cross and then the empty tomb. And so, yes, there's a forgiveness of sins. There's an ability for you to become alive. But that's the issue, is you were forgiven, you were cleaned up spiritually, so you could be what? Filled. If I go home and Sally's got all these mason jars for canning, and she's sterilizing all these jars. And I said, what are you doing, honey? Oh, I'm sterilizing these jars. I'm cleaning these jars. My next question is going to be, what you putting in them? Wow, we're going to can pickles. We're going to can crab apples. But when people give their lives to Christ and something new, they get cleaned up, they get forgiven, we forget that they've got to be filled with life. And so people need to know that you're forgiven and then you are filled with life. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2-6, it brings out the spirit contemporary side of this that all of us have heard me talk about. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, Colossians 4, 2-6, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He wasn't coming against demons. He wasn't praying down brass skies. He wasn't trying to change the cultural, spiritual atmosphere of countries. Just pray for me, a door opens up, and I start speaking. When someone starts to talk, miracles begin to happen. Then it says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. There's that spirit contemporary component. Be cool, be caring, be loving. Make sure Jude does share that, you know, there's some that you'll share, you'll reach for Christ with fear. And it's very rare that I've ever used that. Usually I've been on a deathbed with some guy that hasn't even thought it through. And I just said, listen to me, there's an eternity. Are you ready for where you're going? And I have the conversation that they always want to skirt around. Well, that's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. And I'll keep him on point until I'm able to ask him to give his life to Christ or choose Jesus. But this entire thing about soul winning, and I'm out of time so fast that... But this entire thing about sharing your faith is that most of the miracles that I have seen over the years of people giving their lives to Christ, whether I was on a plane, I shared a story how that this lady came back to me 10 years later and said, you shared with me on a plane about how much you loved God, how he changed your life. And she says, and I just kind of, oh, yeah. And then 10 years later, my life went through hell. And you know, she goes, I could remember our conversation clearly. Why? Because Holy Spirit brings it to her remembrance. So you might just plant the seed. You might not get to lead them in a prayer. You might just chat like we did there. But he's never heard a conversation like that a man would sit with him at coffee and just say, hey, do you mind if I join you? And then someone literally is just saying, I've been there, done that. It's valuing him. It's caring about him. If I was to sit here and go, listen, you loser, you sinner, you're going to go to hell. Do you understand that? Like, that's not going to go anywhere with this guy. I'm reaching out in love. I'm identifying with every one of his problems. And I'm just sharing how Jesus has changed my life. My challenge to you today as I pray and close this message down, is wherever you go, there are opportunities to share. You might just plant the odd seed. It might just be, yeah, I found an amazing church, and dude, you got to check this out. Or it might just be, yeah, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And until I found Jesus, until I figured this out. And then, well, what did you figure out? And you get into a conversation that people's lives begin to be changed. Father, I pray today that something powerful will take place as they just kind of watch this simple little drama. Father, you'll burn it deep on the inside of them. And everywhere we go, we're going to become as never before a soul-winning church and a church that brings people, doesn't invite them, brings them with us to the house of God. Help us. Help this nation of Canada. Help the church to become soul-winning. Help the church to share their faith, to be empowered to witness, so that, Father, we'll see this entire nation touched and this world touched for you. I pray in your mighty name. And everybody in agreement said,
amen.
Amen and amen.